Morning, Buzz. How was your weekend?
Not too bad, mate. Pretty busy. You know, we're still printing newspapers. We've still got to find stories. And we've still got selfish people like a couple of footballers who, are out and about, camping getaways when everyone else is in lockdown.
Are they facing a penalty?
Sorry, mate?
Are they facing a penalty?
I think they would be for sure. Look, it's disappointing more than anything else that everyone else is making sacrifices. And you look at hundreds of thousands of families across Australia who cancelled Easter holidays and camping trips like this one. And I'm talking, hundreds of thousands of people, to help everyone stay safe. You look at the New Zealand Warriors and the sacrifices they're making. They're about to leave their families for months to come to Australia to help the NRL get up and running to, to provide some relief for fans who are doing it pretty tough. You look at how hard Peter Volandis, all the clubs, all the NRL are working to get the comp back up and running. I just think more than anything else that, look, it's not a scandal, but it's very, very selfish behaviour.
Buzz, can I ask, do you know when the photo was taken? We know with Instagram, sometimes you can take a photo 2 months earlier and post it. Was the photo taken in the last couple of days? And do we know that these guys were all together during this lockdown period?
Well, Clarkie, we had a good look at Josh Adokar's Instagram account last night, and it did say the photos were put up the day before. As you say, and Blake Solly, I just spoke to at South Sydney, and I've also spoke last night to Dave Donaghy of Melbourne Storm and Peter Volandis. They need to find out and, get all this detail before they can announce any sanctions or penalties or whatever. Yeah. I think I'm 99.9% sure the photos were taken over the weekend. Because Josh Adokar is a regular poster and he does it, in his day-to-day life. And so I think the two boys are in a bit of strife, not just with their footy clubs, but also with the New South Wales Police, who have come down hard on many others for, this sort of behaviour.
From a rugby league perspective, though, Buzz, what type of fine will they be looking at, and will that also mean a suspension when the competition resumes?
Well, Peter Volandis has said all along that players are looking at suspensions. He even went as far as saying that, competition points are at risk. The biosecurity measures, and I think it was a 48-point document about, medical requirements, was only introduced, though, and sent to the clubs yesterday. So the fact this has happened prior to May 4, when the players are back and full-time employees of their clubs again, might get them, might save them on this occasion, but I still think they are facing some sort of sanctioning and for having this weekend away with 12 other people.
All right. Can you tell me then what's the difference between some of the clubs that have been getting their players together and training in groups when they shouldn't have been?
Well, again, Laurie, we haven't actually had the proof. And remember we spoke about this last Monday, that someone rang me and emailed me and said he'd seen a team training, not in groups of more than, the whole team was there, but they were only training in groups of two, one-on-one sessions. The NRL, as far as I know, don't have hard evidence that teams have actually been doing this. I wrote a column power again today that one club received a phone call from a very senior official at the NRL, or coached it actually, about reports of his team, but there was no hard proof of a photo like the one that has been published this morning.
Buzz, the biosecurity measures that are set to be imposed are severe to say the least, and players' home environments are set to be carefully assessed.
Yeah, well, that's right. There's going to be daily cleaning with disinfectant, bleaching of all training equipment, including footballs, homes will be inspected. You know, players have to be, you know, do online training modules, so they can't get in public transport, taxis or Uber. Daily household screening questionnaires, and that, you know, it's the temperatures checked every time they turn up for training. You know, there's a lot of demands on players, but I guess, you know, with so many jobs on the line here, and, you know, players need to be paid like everyone else. The whole competition depends on, you know, players dodging coronavirus and staying fit and healthy. And the NRL, to get their competition up and running and to convince government health officials, like they've convinced the police commissioner by the look of it, they've convinced the deputy premier by the look of it, but to get the health officials and the health ministers over the line, they've got to have these most stringent laws in place, and they appear to be have done that in the 48-page document.
Buzz, I asked Webby this last week, and my opinion hasn't changed. It's okay to try and protect and control the players' environment and what they do, but what about their families or their roommates? Like, I think the government's telling us, for example, I can send my daughter back to school. It's safe to send your kid to school. So if these players that have kids send their kids to school, you can't protect and monitor and watch and, you know, your child or your wife or your partner 24/7. So once you come back into that home environment, then surely it doesn't matter how much you deadhole your own house, you don't know what's going on outside.
No, but what you're doing with these new measures, you're cutting your odds, aren't you, significantly of, you know, a coronavirus problem. But I understand what you're saying about kids, but I guess, you know, that's a parent thing, isn't it, to ensure the moment, you know, that your children walk into the house. And I'm hoping everyone's doing this anyway. They wash their hands for 20 seconds, I think it is, isn't it? And you know, so their homes will be safe. I know we do it at our place, and I think most households become accustomed to living like this, and we'll have to for some other time. But the measures they've introduced aren't going to 100%, you know, ensure that they're going to be okay, but it helps.
Hey, Buzz, Peter Vellini's shown great leadership all the way through this. He had a meeting with the broadcasters on Friday where they settled on May 28 being the resumption of the competition, but there was no detail on the structure. They're meeting again today with Patrick Delaney from Foxtel and Hugh Marks from Channel 9 about this detail. What are you expecting to come out of this meeting? How long do you think the competition will be when we resume?
Well, look, for the integrity of the competition, to ensure all clubs have a chance of making the finals, I'm really, really hoping for 20 rounds. But it is going to depend on this meeting today and what Channel 9 are prepared to give up. And, you know, they want to pull up in that first week of October and play their grand final then, because they've got commitment for the T20 World Cup. I'm hoping, though, it will be a 20-round competition, because I think that's the fairest solution. I think financially, they're getting $12 million a weekend from the TV broadcasters alone. That's without the exposure for club jerseys, the ground advertising each game, each round. It's just a much better result for rugby league. And for the players who are making these sacrifices, they still don't have a clue what they're going to get paid. But the longer the competition goes on, the more money they're going to get. And I think they're entitled to that as well.
And if that's the case, Buzz, where will Origin sit, in your opinion?
Well, Origin already been established, Clarkie. It's going to be late October. And it'll run 3 weeks straight. It might go into the first week of November. And I'm actually looking forward to that for one reason only, because I love Origin. It's the showpiece event in the rugby league calendar. It's there's nothing like it. It's the top three shows on Australian television. Yeah. But I don't mind saying that it ruins the premiership for 6 to 8 weeks every year. We get substandard. We get crappy football. The superstars are generally missing or they're backing up with bumps and bruises from the weekend before. And quite frankly, a lot of sides who supply the most Origin players, it's not a level playing field for them against clubs that don't supply many.
Yep, no, Buzz, it's been an
what
argument.
What do you guys think of that?
Oh, I love having Origin by itself, for sure. But when the season's at its, you know, at its usual structure, I'm yet to hear, is there a better solution? Because when you put, if we had the standard as it is normally, and you put Origin at the end of the season, would it still have the same build-up? Would there be some rugby league fatigue at the end of the season? I don't know.
Yeah, well, we play internationals, and there's nothing wrong with Tonga versus Australia at the end of the season, a couple of weeks after they've knocked off after the grand final. I just think if it rates as well as it does in October, if we get as many bums on seats in October, I don't think there's anything wrong with making it a permanent move.
No, well, that might be the case, and I reckon they may look at doing that. And I think it's a good time for the league if they're going to look at different things to trial. They get a free hit to do it now because I think everyone's accepting of things will need to change. They may need to do things a little bit differently. I was reading in yesterday's Telegraph, Buzz, that they're looking at different rule changes, extending the benches and using more replacements and having longer breaks at half time and at quarter time having a drinks break. So are these some of the things that the league may be thinking to themselves, we'll give this an opportunity this year, and if it works, well, we might go with it into the future?
Well, there's nothing wrong with experimenting, is there? Look, personally, I like these rule changes to be looked at in games that don't count later in the year. But, you know, this is a different season, isn't it? Mm. But I go back to Origin and the effect it has on clubs. The Dragons and the Knights both supplied 5 Origin players last year and they bombed out of the finals race, correct?
Yep.
The Broncos supplied 5 Origin players as well and they scraped into the 8. Then you look at a side like the Parramatta Eels that only had to give up a winger, Blake Ferguson, one player the whole series over 6 weeks, and they finished 5th. And it's got to have an effect. You know better than anyone else how tough it is to back up from Origin. You know that the whole campaign, it's not, I just don't think it's right. And the two teams that played in the grand final had a combined 7 players between them.
Mm.
Okay, now Melbourne Storm had 6 players themselves.
Yeah.
It'll be really interesting to see how it works in October. Personally, I don't think it'll be the same. A bit like you, Jared, I think people might be, you know, getting ready for their summer break. But let's have a look.
Yeah. Well, I think this year will be different, but I think generally, I'm not sure it would work. But this year, I think we'll take anything come October.
Mm.
It could be the busiest October of all time. Could have everything on.
Yeah, how much time we got left, guys, in this little segment?
No, we've got plenty, mate. We've got plenty.
I want to ask Sparky some personal questions. I reckon we got to live at this segment up. Am I allowed, Sparky?
Oh, here we go. Go for it. Just have your pen ready to write the story.
Yeah, no, I will. I'll turn the tape recorder on, actually. Are you right?
Can I turn the volume down on my headphones?
Look, I don't want to be rude, but I want to know about that diamond ring.
What diamond ring?
The diamond ring that went down the toilet 10 years ago.
How many times do I know people don't like to believe me, but how many times do I have to say the same thing? I am dumb. That's a given. But I'm not that dumb. I'm not flushing any ring down any toilet at any stage.
Oh, I thought Lara flushed it.
And she's not that dumb. She's not flushing an earring either.
Would you have gone down and got it, though, Clarky? Would you have gone down there and got it?
Definitely. Head first.
So what happened?
You know how the rumour started? Do you know what happened?
No, please tell me.
There was media parked out the front of my Bondi apartment for probably 2 weeks. I don't want a name, but Denny might have been one of them. And there was a plumbing truck out the front of the apartment. The apartment has 20 units in it. Just because there was a plumbing truck out the front, people assumed, because we'd busted up, that, oh, let's go with this story. The plumbers come to try and get Lara's ring out of the toilet.
Sounds factual.
Absolute made-up rubbish.
Well, it sounds like they were close. At least there was a plumber.
Yeah, there was a plumber there. Yeah, correct.
So how well are you travelling, though, a $200,000 diamond ring?
Hey, don't make up numbers either, Buzz. I'm not going there.
Mate, you are dead set, one out, one back, with cover. You know, you're just flying financially.
Listen, mate, I've said it to Loz. Half of nothing is nothing.
Oh, please.
Are you disappointed he didn't get the scoop on his new haircut, Buzz?
Yeah, I am, actually. I am, actually.
Yeah, well, oh my God. Can you read what it was? You know, what do they call it? Yeah. It was an undercut
some
coif
sort
or something.
Of coif.
A coif.
Yeah, no, I'll have it.
He was spotted getting off a boat. And can you read it, Mido, for Buzz?
I wasn't even spotted getting off a boat. I was spotted lugging an esky in a bag.
We need to credit them. This is courtesy of the Daily Mail Australia. The 39-year-old not only had a swept back dark blonde coif, he also had shaved the sides for a dramatic undercut.
What do you reckon, Buzz?
Yeah, I can't believe that hasn't made your main story. Exclusive, Buzz. I can't believe it hasn't made it.
Well, it could have been a spotted, I guess.
Yeah. Get in the I want to be in the shush. I want to be in the shush section.
Do, mate? But you know what you should do? Like your listeners and like our readers at the telly, head into Just
Tell
Cuts.
Me.
Like I do, and get a $20 fruit number.
Mate, I do. I go to the barber down the road. I just can't go to the barber at this stage. I had to get someone coming to my house.
I bet you don't get a $20 cut.
I reckon it's $32. $32 at my barber.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
They don't miss you, do they? They don't miss you. You must sell online. You know, you must attract a lot of hits.
He does.
I'm assuming you would know, Buzz.
I don't keep a personal track on you. I just was interested in that ring, and I thought I'd bring it up. No.
Hey, well, Buzz, can you do me a favour? Can you do a story on Clarkie this week?
Well,
let's get a story.
Truth about the ring.
A story about the ring and the true story. Clark
Loz,
opens
can you
up
shush?
About true story. There's your headline for back page. Clark opens up about ring.
I reckon at the end of this segment every Monday, I should have a 2-minute questionnaire with Clarky.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah,
you'll agree to that. We'll do Simon Kadich next week. Oh,
perfect. Wouldn't be the first time I've had to speak about that as well.
Yeah. I'm sorry,
it's only stuck with me for the last 15 years, like the diamond ring.
Yeah, right.
Buzz, great to have you on as always, mate.
Can't wait till next Monday, Buzz.
All right.
See you, mate.
Phil Rothfield, friend of the show.